unusual sermon. I'll be preaching messages up to Christmas time dealing with the Christmas season. And this is probably one of the most unusual passages that I've ever read for the Christmas season. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And it doesn't seem like much of a Christmas passage until we read it. Now, you've read it many, many times, as I've read it many, many times. But you know, it's amazing what God can reveal to you after you've had a snow shovel in your hand for 2.5 hours, trying to fight through 6 inches of snow, thinking about everything that is happening in the week, trying to remember the things that you forgot. And by the way, if I did forget some things this week, please forgive me. It's been a hectic week. Lots of folks near death and everything else that's happened. But we'll do better on this coming week, okay? But we sure look at things in a different perspective when you have nothing to do but think and pray. And then the Lord sent an angel to help me out in the middle of my driveway. I got it half cleared off, and Barry showed up with a plow. Did in less than 3 minutes what I had been working on for 2 hours. And look at me, folks. I'm not built to shovel snow. Amen? All I know is I want one of those four-wheel drives with a big plow in front of it. Somebody say glory right there. And as I was praying, thinking about this service, I had planned one message for this morning, but God began to deal with my heart because this passage talks about a prophet that made a journey to Bethlehem. And I could not help but see the parallel, and why I had never caught this is beyond me. It was just the Spirit's way of revealing things to me at this time of year, of the parallel between this journey to Bethlehem and the journey to Bethlehem that happened nearly 2,000 years ago. A lot of things in Scripture happened around Bethlehem. We know the book of Ruth is centered around that small town. That town was the town that was responsible for feeding most of the sheep through the wintertime. Many of the sheep that would later be used for sacrifice on the temple, they were right there in Bethlehem. The shepherd's caves are there, where many people believe it was one of those types of caves that the inn was built upon that Christ very well would have been born into. Not the magnificent church you see there today. And people now are wanting to make pilgrimages back to Bethlehem. Bethlehem, of course, is a town right now that's under immense struggle. And there's a great battle being fought between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And Bethlehem is right in the seat of that. You see it on the news. And they're concerned about how it will affect people that's wanting to make pilgrimages back to Bethlehem. Samuel has come to a place in his life where he had anointed a king by the name of Saul. And he was so confident that Saul was the one. And Saul truly was appointed of God and was meant to be ordained of God. And we know that the prophet did no wrong in anointing him. The problem that the prophet had was he put too much confidence in man. And Saul disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, then God removed that spirit upon Saul that was placed upon him for the special purpose that was there. And because Samuel had such high hopes of the way it would be, and then suddenly God is in the midst of changing things, he is so disappointed that he doesn't know what to do. He is so discouraged. In fact, he sits down and begins to grieve like someone that has passed away in his family because God has rejected King Saul. And that's where this passage takes up, beginning with the first verse. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? Kind of sounds like a passage in Luke. Fear not, doesn't it? And he said, peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And then you know from verse 6 all the way down to verse 10, it is a constant battle. Or verse 9, a constant battle of each son coming. Samuel saying, this is the right one. The next one, this is the right one. But none of those were correct. Then in verse 10, again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Well, when I looked at that passage, I could not help but see the same parallel that would take place 1,000 years later in the same village of Bethlehem. Look at some of those, if you will. Let's take a little journey to Bethlehem as Samuel took that journey to find out the significance of what happened in that village nearly 2,000 years ago and nearly 3,000 years ago. First of all, I think that we can rightfully say because of what happened in Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, when David was anointed, the bloodline that Christ would come through, because of what happened in Bethlehem, grief can be overcome. How long will you sit here and mourn? David, there's something happening in Bethlehem that'll take the grieving away. And I suppose as we enter into Christmas time, it's probably one of the hardest times on families that have gone through grief over the years. And many folks say, I just dread Christmas because of death that's touched our family in years past, or because family members will no longer be at the Christmas table when we eat. Grief is a terrible thing to deal with. But don't you see, you shouldn't grieve at this time because of your loved ones. You should rejoice because what happened on Christmas gives us hope in the hour of sorrow and grief. Had Jesus not come to this earth, He would not have died. Had He not died, He would not have risen again. But because He did come, blessed be God, we have victory over sorrow. There was grief. And then also there were enemies. He said, if I go there in verse 2, don't you know the king wants to kill me? What happened when Jesus was born? Different king, no longer is it King Saul. 1,000 years later, it's King Herod. King Herod was inquisitive about Christ, but it was for all the wrong reasons. He was concerned that another king had come and would overthrow him and take down his kingdom. He became an enemy, and because of that, we know that the children under the age of 2 were slaughtered. And they had to flee Christ, Mary, and Joseph into Egypt because of that. An enemy. Because of what happened at Bethlehem. Please hear this morning. Thank God we have victory over our enemies. I don't know what it is that plagues you today. I don't know what it is that bothers you today. But there's victory in Christ over every enemy in your life. Not only did it overcome sorrow, not only did it overcome the enemies that were there, but when they arrived, the whole city was trembling. Have you noticed the account of what happened? How many times the angels had to say, fear not. How many times the Scripture says, when Christ came, they trembled. What was all the fear about? Because they didn't know friend from foe. They didn't know right from wrong. There had been a period of 400 years of darkness between the Old Testament and the coming of Christ. They thought just as though they thought that all hope was gone when Samuel looked at it and Samuel realized that Saul had been rejected. When that period of darkness came between the Old Testament and the New Testament, they felt that all hope was gone as well. And they were fearful. False prophets were coming from all sides. And the enemy, the devil, was telling them lies. They didn't know who they could trust and who they couldn't trust. Don't you know that Christmas has a way of taking our fears away? Didn't the writer say the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight? Do you ever get afraid? Come on, don't be so pious. We all have fears. We don't mean to them. We should trust God more. But sometimes it just seems like it all comes at once. And we don't know what to do. You're entering into new phases of your life and you're trying to do what's right. You say, preacher, you have fears? Of course. We all have fears. We started into this new month. I'm going to do something I rarely, rarely do. In fact, I don't think you ever recall a time that I've said anything about the ministry from a financial perspective from our pulpit. I don't think I've ever said anything in that area. Not one time, but I am this morning. During the past 30 days, I went back and checked. During the past 30 days, Evangelistic Outreach has given away nearly two times the income that this church had in tithes and offerings in the past 30 days. Now, everything that we have, the way we operate, most ministries that do things without an administrative cost, they have a trust fund. And the trust fund, the interest that's earned off of that, helps pay the administrative cost. We donate all of it out of our general fund. So, without adequate money in the general fund, there's nothing there to do anything else with. We're trying to help families and feed families through the holiday season. And God is blessing. We're touching lives by the thousands. Last month, we lost $7,000 in one month. Hey, look at me. I'm not too bright. But I know you can't do that very long. So here I am, trying to help others. And because you're doing more for others than you are for your own needs, the enemy comes along and says, just quit helping people. You think you don't get fearful? When you have so many lives at stake, people's salaries at stake, and missionaries all around the world that's depending every month on you, evangelists relying on you to meet their needs, and you're writing the checks and you're seeing it go down and down and down and down. And then your daughter has to pick me to get married. 12 months out of the year. I don't mean that like it sounds, but I'm not doing real good with this. You'll have to pray for me. I got a wonderful son-in-law, but the problem's me. Some of you don't understand that yet, but you will. You just can't believe that they come to the door the day they're born and you hold them in your arms and then you've got to turn around and give them to a total stranger. It's not right, I tell you, it's not right. I'm going to write a book about it. Amen. And then you get a snowstorm on Thursday before it all happens. And you get afraid. So I'm out shoveling snow and I'm saying, Lord in heaven, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? And the first thing God did was He took me back 3,000 years ago. He said, you do what the prophet did. You get to Bethlehem. Then He did the same thing that night. Woke me up in the night and took me back 2,000 years ago. And He said, don't you think Mary was afraid? Don't you think those shepherds were afraid that night as they made their way? Don't you think the wise men were afraid to make that journey? Cal, when did I fail thee? And I'll not fail you. And I said, blessed be the name of God. I'm glad because of Christmas. There is power over all of our fears. Some of you are battling fears. You're afraid to step out. You're afraid to do what's right. The Spirit is saying, do it, but you're afraid to. It's because of Christmas We have power over our fears. So put it in God's hands. Let's trust the Lord together about it. Someone said to me yesterday, said, your church is growing. Aren't you afraid to try to build on? Of course, there's fears, legitimate fears. But don't you know we serve the God of heaven and earth, the God that can do all things, the God that will never fail us if He loved us enough to send His only Son to die for us. How much more would He do for us? So don't be afraid, Paul. Just face that surgery. It'll be okay. Don't be afraid, Barry. The business will be all right. Don't be afraid when you're facing things and you don't know where to turn or how you're going to make it. God is still on the throne. It's because of Bethlehem. You don't have to fear. Oh, I'm out of time before I'm out of message. Because of Bethlehem, there came peace to this world. They were afraid. They said, do you come peaceably? Oh, yes. I come in peace. Why do you come in peace? Because I have the sacrifice. No wonder they said, peace on earth. How did the peace come? Because the sacrifice. The Lamb of God was born. One of the devotions in this book, I talked to our guide one year. I said, what was your most memorable Christmas? He said, I can tell you. December the 24th, I stood with a group just before midnight inside of a shepherd's cave. The same type of cave that Christ very well was born into. They were singing Christmas carols. And right at the midnight hour, I stepped out of the mouth of that cave. And when I stepped out of the mouth of that cave, I looked at midnight and there was a ewe giving birth to a lamb. And he said, as I stood under those stars and realized what was happening, he said, it dawned on me. 2,000 years ago, there was a Lamb that was born. What better place for the Son of God, the Lamb of God, to be born than amongst the animals? Because He was the Lamb of God that had come to bleed and die for our sins. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like preaching this morning. I'm saying because of that, peace came to this earth. Because of that journey to Bethlehem, the prophet was able to see what God saw. All the sons of Jesse passed by. But the Lord said, hey, the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. God sees more than what I've got on and what I drove today. The house I live in. God sees more than my good works, and more than my prayers, and more than my willingness to do. God sees my heart. And God sees your heart today. You take that trip to Bethlehem, you'll also find out when you get there, you'll find a king. He didn't look like much of a king to them at that time. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. I've done a lot of study on that, and I'm in the firm belief the swaddling clothes were the same swaddling clothes they used for grave clothes. I believe that. They swaddled the bodies. Think about it. Christ was born in the garments of death. He came to die. I don't know about any of you, but when my children came into this world, I didn't have children with the thought they would die before I did. When life came, death wasn't even in my mind. But the purpose of God and the plan of God, when His Son was born with the intent purpose to die for the sins of mankind. That's why He said, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall take away the sins of His people. But He was a king. That's hard to believe, isn't it? I look around and see all these little babies here this morning. Farthest thing from my mind when I see them is that they're a king.
But when they came, they realized it was more than a baby in that manger. He was the King of glory. Hallelujah. King of all kings. So God said, go ahead and anoint him. That baby was the anointed one. That's why he's Christ. That's what the word means. He is the anointed one. Christ was the one that came to preach the gospel to the poor. Christ was the one that the Spirit descended upon him in the shape of a dove. Christ was the one that said, the Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He is the anointed one. I've been to Bethlehem many times. I've stood in the church of the Nativity. I couldn't tell you the number of times. It's a lot different today than what it probably was then. You still go down into that cave, but when you get down inside the cave, the spot that they believe that Christ was born on, there's a candle always burning, and it looks like gold and mosaics all around it. And there's gold everywhere you look going into it. There was no gold 2,000 years ago. There was no gold, but there was God. And because of that baby, our lives have been changed forever. Samuel was glad he made the trip to Bethlehem. The shepherds were glad they made the trip to Bethlehem. The wise men were glad that they made the trip. And I've got news for you. I'm glad spiritually I made the trip. You're going to hear a lot of things over the next few days about Christmas. You're going to hear that you're a heathen because you have a day set aside that you celebrate the birth of Christ. You go tell all those tightwads, we're going to have a big time. You heard me right. You're not a heathen because you celebrate the day that Christ... Well, it couldn't have been that day. But there was a day. And if we choose this day to celebrate His birth, the key to it all is He came. And let's tell the world why He came. He came to do something in their life. He came to do something in your life. Christian, if you are eat up with fear this morning, make the trip to Bethlehem. Spiritually, get to the Lord. If you're hearing away from God this morning, make the trip to Bethlehem. What you see will change you forever. Will you stand together with me this morning? I've asked Howard to do something unusual.